All right, so welcome everybody. We are here. Welcome back to Making the Cut. We're here with our first guest, Jacob DePauw.
Sure, Jacob DePauw.
DePauw. How do you pronounce it?
I pronounce it Jacob DePauw.
DePauw. So that's like the correction. That's the correct way. So you guys heard it here first, Jacob DePauw. Why don't you just tell them about yourself? Tell them what you got going on.
Yeah, so I'm Jacob DePauw. Like you guys know, I go to Hananiga High School. I have a sister, twin sister. I have a dog named Spanky. He's one of my best friends ever. I used to play basketball all my life, but now I play volleyball. First year of club season was last year. Now I'm on my second year of club season. And I just recently committed to Morningside College for volleyball. I'm a setter, by the way.
Yeah. So just let them know like why you got into volleyball, what attracted you to it.
Yeah. So my brother, he always played volleyball. So like I was still in my basketball years back when my brother was playing volleyball. So I still went to all of his tournaments. So that definitely got me interested in volleyball. I knew that I always wanted to play volleyball. I just really never had the opportunity because I was playing like year-round basketball. But as soon as I got into high school, I was actually able to join a team for high school. Then after my sophomore year on the varsity team at Hananiga, I was like, you know what? Like, this is what I really want to do. So I ended up quitting basketball after playing all my life. And part of the reason was mostly because of the teammates. I loved all the teammates. Volleyball was just so much, all the teammates were so much nicer. And in basketball, I don't know, there's lots of head cases and people thinking that they're the best. But volleyball, everybody has to work together. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's just so much more
nice, friendlier. It's a good environment. It's a fun environment.
Definitely a fun environment.
And you guys know I play basketball too. I played Jake a couple times. I don't know if we played each other in AAU. I don't think we played each other.
No, not in AAU, but we were definitely on the same team one time.
Yeah, at the showcase. At a showcase. I remember that. We were so young. That was like, what, freshman year?
Yeah, it was I don't really remember.
I don't know.
I think it might have been freshman year.
I think it was, because I just remember getting, like, clapped in the entire thing. Like, it was bad.
No, like,
but so. I remember you did good, though, I think.
I think I did fine.
Yeah. I did bad. I was. Anyway, this is not a basketball podcast. So I know you said your brother. You said your brother played, and he was obviously really good. And your sister played. Your sister was playing before you, right?
Yeah, so Jillian, she actually did dance all of her life, but then she quit after her freshman year. Mm-hmm. No, maybe after eighth grade. Then she quit dance and then did club volleyball.
Mm-hmm. So are you older than her?
Yeah, but 2 minutes.
So you're not the baby. You're not the baby.
I'm not the baby baby, but I'm still pretty baby.
So you were the last to get into it out of you three.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I was the last one out of us three. My brother definitely paved the way for Jillian and I both to want to pursue volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
We both like enjoyed it way more, and we saw a future with it in college because that's always the number one goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our other sports, that just didn't provide that big of a future for us as volleyball did.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah, I don't think I was getting anywhere with basketball. And
yeah.
it's a rough scene. It's a very rough scene. But, so your brother paved the way for you, and he basically, like, he showed you guys the ropes, right? I've heard he showed you guys the ropes. He taught you guys a lot. You guys are both setters.
Yeah, we're both setters, and my brother's also a setter, so mm-hmm. I guess it's just in our genes.
Yeah.
So Jillian and I, we've had trainings with him. He's yelled at us a lot, but, like, he's being tough on us because he knows. He holds us to a high expectations, mm-hmm. especially from where he comes from, because he was really good.
Yeah.
So I guess he's just expecting big things from us, just like he did big things when he played volleyball.
Mm-hmm. I think you guys are going to do them. I think you guys are going to, you know, Morningside, it's a great school, and I think you guys are going to get it done. regardless. Yeah. I don't even know. I'm going to definitely tune in from wherever I am. And I'm excited. I'm excited to see you guys. All right. So moving into our next question type of thing. Give me like your favorite memory from like playing with your brother or playing with your brother or training with your brother. And then give me a favorite memory from just you, like just a volleyball match or practice or just anything.
Yeah, so I think my favorite memory with my brother, okay, it was when we made my skills video.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it was gonna take like 20 minutes because it was only a 5-minute video. It took a whole hour.
Oh.
I guess you could say I was pretty rusty because that was during quarantine. I haven't played in a while.
So that was recent.
Yeah, it was recent. But he was just getting so frustrated and he's like yelling at me. He's like, hey, like a speed ball is not the same thing as putting the ball lower. Like it can still be fast, but it can be high arcing too. Mm-hmm. And then also just like me, he kept yelling at me to extend my arms. I feel like if you see me set, I don't extend.
Yeah,
I stop my arms. I'm like a T-Rex.
Yeah, it's very like in there.
It's very,
it's good though. It gets there. It gets the job done.
It gets there. Like, I don't know. I guess I just use my wrists too much and not my whole arms.
But you were a basketball player though. And
exactly.
That's a lot what it was. It was wrist. It was, you know, snap your wrist. It was dribbling, you know, passing. It was all wrist. And so transitioning to volleyball, I think even for me, I'm not even a setter, but when I do set, it's basically all wrist. I don't even use my arms. Like I had to like mentally tell myself to move my arms because it's hard.
Yeah, and like even when I'm setting, like sometimes I still develop a basketball form in there.
Yeah.
Shooting with one hand, my hands are, there's something. Sometimes they're really good, but most of the time it looks like I'm shooting a basketball. But yeah, and then my favorite memory just for me playing, it was at Palos, and like we were down by a lot, but then I just like started dumping the ball. I was like, I'm sick of this, like I'm just gonna take it in my own hands.
Yeah.
And then Nicole, our coach, she's like, Jacob, that is how you take control of a game. And like that just like really made my, that made my whole season. I was like, wow. Like I just knew that if I could get my coach to say, like, that's how you can take control of a game, like, that just gave me so much more confidence that, like, maybe I should take control of the game some more. But, like, not only just, like, doing it myself, but I can still take control of the game by actually getting good sets and making unexpected plays. So, yeah.
I mean, you're a leader. And especially last year on our 171 team, like our 17th year, you were a leader and you were kind of like put at that position early. You were kind of like, I don't remember. We had that vote. We had like a team vote. And our coach was like, all right, so huddle together, just you guys, and just talk about who you think would be a good captain or like leader of the team. And obviously, like a lot of us were, we didn't know each other. Like, a lot of us were very new to each other. Some of us were very new to the sport.
Yep.
Me and him, we that was our first year of club, like, together. We both quit basketball, like, the year before or something like that. And so we were very new, and we didn't, like, I know I can lead, but at that point, I was like, no.
That's like, exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
When like, she was asking, like, who wants to, like, read a speech and, like, be a leader, I'm like, no.
No,
not for me. Like, I think that's too early for
me. Not good enough. Like, I'm not good enough yet.
I don't even know volleyball.
Yeah, like, I don't even know. Like, I don't know much. I didn't know much. And so when we had that vote, I think it was Court, I want to say, that was, like, initially the leader. And then
she never told us the results though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We're all like wondering and we're just like, oh. But I think when that did happen, when you did take over the game, I don't remember that. Well, that was early. That was pretty early in the season.
Yeah,
right?
It was like our second Palos.
Yeah. It was early. And I think when you did that and when you did take over, I was like, okay, yeah, he's kinda, you know, he took the unclaimed crown and was like, okay, I'm gonna be the leader. And I think from there, Nicole kinda took him and was like, okay, you're the leader now, and you're going to do this, this, this. And I think once it got closer to our qualifier, she really, like, put it on you to be the leader and be responsible for us to just get us into shape and do what we have to do. And I think that's awesome. And I always thought you would be. It's just we didn't know. We were just young and we were new.
I literally didn't know anybody. Like, yeah. And that's also the reason why I didn't want to be, like, that guy yet. Yeah. Everybody was new to me.
Yeah.
The only person that wasn't was Owen.
Yeah.
Because I already knew him from...
Yeah, he goes to Hano with you. Yeah. So, moving on to our about third question. Well, this one's not really a question, but it's going to be, like, a kind of interactive thing. But, here, let's have you, or I'll do it first. So I'm going to say my favorite moment with you, or on the court or off the court or in a practice or anything, and then we'll do vice versa. So my favorite moment with you, I made these questions and I didn't even think about it, but I don't know. My favorite moment with you, it would have to be at the second Palos, I think. The second Palos... It was about, I think it was the first day, because I think that was a two-day tournament. It was the first day, second to last game or something. And we went against a team that was pretty good. I think we did get, we either got smacked in the first set or we smacked them in the first set. And then the second set was like gritty. Like the second set was like, okay. And so that tournament all around, I think it was pretty rough for all of us. I'm not sure. But I think it was pretty rough. I think we're all, like, tired and just, you know, trying our best to do make it work. And so we were playing, and it was about the second set. Like I said, the second set was gritty, and I think we were just connecting. Like, I think we just hit a spark, and everything you set me was a kill. Everything you touched was a kill, even to Iman, to JJ, to anybody. You know, that's all of our teammates, but anybody. It was a kill. Dumps, anything. And that's when, like, I kind of realized, like, oh, we kind of have something going here. Like, that was, like, the beginning. Like, that was still pretty early in our season. And I think from there on, I'm like, I've been like, yeah, this is my guy. Like, this is my setter. This is the guy that I know I want to play with anytime at an open gym or at a practice or anything. And so that was probably my favorite moment. That was probably just the moment I knew that it was going to be good. And, yeah, so, I don't know. What about you?
Yeah, so, let me start off with, at the adversity tournament, our very first tournament, I did not set you at all. I was like, this kid's not good.
You set me a couple times.
I tried.
It was a couple times.
But, throughout the whole season, you just, like, improved so much. And my favorite moment was, it was our second day at St. Louis. I'm pretty sure it was our third game, so our last game. We just lost the first two games. Like, we were having a tough day.
Oh, yeah.
And we were about to lose our third game because we were down, like, it was like 20.
Was that the game? Was that the game against the gray team?
Yeah. And, like, we just made a comeback, and, like, I just set you every single time, and you just kept getting kill after kill after kill. Like, they could not stop you. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, this is perfect.
That game was crazy.
That was crazy because we were down by a lot. Yeah. It was like 24 to like 18.
Yeah.
And then we just came back. I just kept setting you every single ball, and you just kept putting down the hammer.
That game, I think we were down more than 24-18. It was definitely, I don't think it was 24, but it was definitely close. I think it was like 13 to like 20 or something. I don't know. It was very bad. It was very bad, to say the least. And I do remember that game.
But we came back and won.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah.
That game, that day was rough. That entire day was rough.
That, yeah.
I don't think we were ready.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
And, like, honestly, we could have beat all those teams.
Oh, my God.
Every single team that we played at St. Louis, we could have beat
them. Looking back at it, I was just thinking the other day, like, looking back at it, man, like...
Like, right now...
Oh, my gosh, we would...
I think all of us have improved so much. We would beast mode on all of them.
Yeah, yeah. And none of those teams are really like, damn, we really can't beat them. Like, they're all, like, beatable teams.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the past is in the past. All we can do is try to qualify this year.
Yeah.
And so I think we can get it done. But, yeah. So moving on to our, what, third or fourth question? So just kind of, you said you had your brother, and you said he put a lot of pressure on you. But just describe the pressures that you felt from other places, like coaches or players, or, you know, just outside sources that you felt on you as a setter, just to be, you know, a good setter.
Yeah, so like as a setter, you're basically like the quarterback.
Yeah.
Point guard. So like you're expected to be a leader already, which is also very tough. Like if it's not in your personality type to be a leader, mm-hmm. then like a setter is going to be a tough role for you to fill on the team. But so that's definitely where the pressure comes from, like from all the coaches, because mm-hmm. you need to be a leader. You're calling all the plays. You need to read the defense. Like, I honestly have no idea what defense is. Like,
yeah.
I have no idea where anybody is on the court, but I think I get by.
Yeah.
but like I'm calling those plays, and they have to be the right plays, or else you're going to make your hitters look bad if they get blocked.
Yeah.
But then also, like, the pressure is just, like, from my teammates. I feel like actually everybody's, like, pretty good about this. Like, I'm expected to give them perfect sets. I think they expected me to give them perfect sets every single time, like, last year in club season. Mm-hmm. But then, like, now it's just definitely a more difficult game the older that we get.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the passes aren't going to be perfect every time. And, like, a non-perfect pass makes the set not always perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So now I think my teammates are really good at, like, recognizing that not every single set's going to be perfect. So they've definitely taken the pressure off of me there. But, like, it still is a lot of pressure because I can't just jack up a ball and hope mm-hmm. that they do something with it.
Yeah.
So I definitely still am pressured to give them a good ball, but it's not always going to be perfect.
Yeah. Well, on our team and just this year, we don't really have teams yet, but just, you know, going through our open gyms and stuff, we have a lot of players that can adjust to a lot of things. We have some taller guys. We have some people with some bounce. We have some crafty players. And it's not always going to be necessary to give the perfect ball because we're going to be able to put it down.
Yeah, there's lots of versatile players
yeah.
this year.
Yeah, and I think that takes some pressure off of you because you don't have to give us a perfect set all the time, because last year I think a lot of us were perfect set hitters, a lot yeah. of us. And this year, I think we've all grown, especially our middle Holden. He had come back from, just shattered his knee, just shattered his whole yeah. leg. It was very bad. And he came back, and he came to St. Louis with us, and it wasn't good. We appreciated his height. I don't think he's grown since then. So he was about like 6'7". Still, he was
super tall.
Yeah. Still, he was good. Like, he was a force in the middle, but not as much as he is this year. Like,
yeah, this year he's so good.
Yeah, he's a monster. He's getting up there, and he's, you know, hang time throwing balls down, you know, off tips and everything. And I think that was some pressure on you to, you know, get the perfect set to him because during the qualifier, because he couldn't do much. He couldn't. Yeah.
Like, we were always supposed to, like, utilize our middles, but, like, it was hard to utilize him at St. Louis. Just
yeah.
Cause, like, especially because he didn't practice with us much. He practiced with us, like, one or two times.
Yeah, it was, like, two, three weeks before.
Our timing was off. My sets were, like, too slow, too fast, too mm-hmm. high, too low.
Yeah.
There was just so much different things that messed up our connection. But, like, this year, now he's, like, mostly back to full health, right?
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, I think our connection is way better now.
Yeah.
He's bouncing balls all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting shots.
Yeah.
Tipping really well. More like throwing the ball, but refs don't call that, so I'm okay with that.
Reaching, just everything. He's back. He's back. Just know that. But I think the, like you mentioned, the higher we go and the older we get, it's going to be harder to get those perfect balls, not because of, or those better balls for the sets, not because you aren't a good setter, but because the serve is going to get faster. The serve receive is going to get harder. the, you know, the balls might change, the, you know, just all the different stuff, the spacing, the everything. It's going to change. It's going to be harder. And, of course, I don't doubt that you're going to be able to adapt to it. But it's just going to be harder to get those better passes so you can get those better sets. And then it's going to make you look better or worse. And then it's going to be harder on you. You're going to have more coaches saying this. You're going to have more players saying this, parents, you know, whatever. And it's, I mean, it's tough. It's really tough. Even as a hitter, it's tough. Yeah. But, yeah, so that's that. So moving on to, I'm going to say a sixth question type of thing. So, all right. So this one. Thank you. So this is kind of like a thing for me, like a interactive type of thing for me, but it's just going to be kind of like a story time, I guess, about St. Louis. And it's been kind of funny to us the past couple of days since I made these questions, because he doesn't really remember. But and it didn't really happen the way I think we think it happens, or I think you think it happens, but happened. But I mean, so we're in St. Louis, our qualifier. I want to say it was about day three. It was day three. I don't remember what game though. And, you know, I'm tired. I've never played in anything like that before. I've never, mentally and physically, I'm drained. I've never done anything like that. I've never experienced anything like that before. And so, of course, my play is going to struggle. It's going to suffer. And so, we're playing, and I'm just hitting balls out. Like, I am just hitting balls out into the net, shanking past, you know, everything that a struggling player would do. And so, like we said earlier, our coach kind of moving more towards St. Louis, our coach kind of put Jake in that leadership position, you know, of the players. And so as I'm doing all this and all this, Jake comes up to me, or like, I think we like go into like a huddle after we miss a point or something, and he's just like, "Jordan, what are you doing? Like what are you doing?" Like, like, it, that's what it felt like to me. I think all you said was like, "You need to get your head in the game." But to me, it felt like, "Damn, I let him down." Because like, going into St. Louis, I was like, "Yeah, Jake's gonna be the one to carry us. He's gonna be the one to, you know, take us all the way." And then when you said, I was like, my soul was crushed. I was like,
"Oh my god!" Now that makes you feel really bad. I was like,
"Dude, I let it down." I let the team down, obviously, because I wasn't doing good. And I was just like, "Damn, man! Like, I'm at a low point. You know, I can only go down from here." But I mean, yeah, that was just like, damn, that hurt. And it still does kind of hurt to this day. But I mean, you know, we moved past it, obviously.
You know, and like, you've already improved so much. I don't think that you're ever going to do anything like that again. I'm sorry for hurting your feelings.
I mean, you've hurt other people's feelings. Yeah. I know you have. Like, actually hurt them. Like, I was being a bit sensitive, but I think you've actually, like, gotten under some people's skin. I don't know.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
As a setter and as a leader, yes, it's a good thing. But, and it wasn't like harsh. Like, it wasn't too hard, but it was definitely like, all right, he means business. So we're going to, you know, follow along, you know? But I mean, yeah, that was kind of that. We're past it now.
I definitely remember telling you to get your head in the game.
Yeah.
I don't think I meant it in a mean way at all.
I know you didn't.
I was telling you to, like, stop making those mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, if you're hitting it out every time, just, like, I don't know, try tipping it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, moving on to, what, our seventh question. So, just kind of, like, talking about our improvements as a duo, kind of. And then, like, maybe your improvements with a middle or a right side or a libero type of thing. Just how do you think you have grown collectively with like a duo or other people on the team, and, you know, made them better and they made you better?
Yeah, so first of all, I want to say how you and me, we were just so raw last year. We had no idea. So like, our connection was fine. It wasn't the greatest, but then after playing with you again this year, I feel like whenever I set you, you're bouncing the ball.
Yeah.
And I think that just is because we've taken the time in order to create that connection between us. Like you like it at a certain height because you jump so freaking high. And like once you get it, like you bounce it. And then just like with other players, I think Iman, him and
our middle.
Yep. Middle. Him and I, we just started trying to do some different kind of plays like last week. And I think that was actually working pretty well. I'm like, hey, yeah. Like do this off one foot.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I just see whenever I watch girls volleyball, they do a lot of things off one foot. So like, how about we do it off one foot? I don't really know the benefits, but I think it worked out pretty well because Iman was bouncing balls and he liked it a lot. So I like that connection is already really growing. I think mine and Holden's connection is really growing. Yeah. He likes his balls a little higher, but he also gets super high up. Our team has a lot of bounce this year.
Yeah, we got some talent.
Court is also, he's just so crafty.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter what you give him.
Does not matter at all. He will swing away. He's also super good at tipping.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm trying to block him, it like literally goes right over my fingertips. Like I'm like an inch away from touching it. Arturo, him and I really haven't had that much time to play with each other yet. But he is also one of those crafty players. He's so good at anything that he does. Owen and I just love Owen's passes. Owen's so good at passing.
Everyone loves Owen. Owen is our libero. He's been the libero, I want to say. Coming up, he's finally, you know, we're all seniors now. Owen is the libero in town. You know, he's the guy that will up your best hit on a good day.
Yep.
And
except for when he got rocked in the face at St. Louis.
That was very much
But
my
he
fault.
Definitely learned from that.
That was my fault.
We were hitting line like last week and he was digging every single wall.
Yeah, he put his hands up. Yeah, that was my fault in St. Louis. Actually,
I don't think it was.
I think it was back row.
You were back row for
sure. Yeah. But I did let it go line a lot when I was front row. I like left a huge gap up there. And luckily he did dig them or they were out. But I mean, yeah, that was hard to watch.
It was hard to watch, and especially when he got up and he was stumbling.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, we're losing our key passer right now.
Yeah. And that was only the second day, right?
That was on the first day.
First day, yeah. But he did come back.
He did come back, even though he shouldn't have. He failed all of his concussion tests. Come on, Owen.
Very much shouldn't have come back, but I mean, he did, and I mean, he did what he could do. He did his thing. He did the very much Owen thing and just gave us the good passes and ups and everything.
Yep. And let me give some credit to other hitters. JJ Berry and I honestly have no idea how he could hit my sets. I feel like my sets to the right side were not always there. They were so low and so fast.
Last year.
But he was like hitting them and like he like also had like really good shots sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He even bounced a ball at the Wisconsin tournament.
Yeah.
That was super nice. And then Kyle Barone, whenever he was front row. I don't think him and I had a really good connection last year, but during the summer, him and I have actually gotten a really good connection. We both recognized that.
From Sand.
Yeah, from Sand, because we were partners in Sand.
Mm-hmm.
And then at like Scramble and stuff, and just like open gyms. Like, him and I recognized that he's really good at the shoot balls. And he likes him off the net because he can get all the shots that he wants.
Yeah.
And once he gets his good set, he bounces balls.
Mm-hmm.
Or not really bounces balls, but he rockets them so hard that they cannot...
Yeah, you can't be passed.
He cannot pass those.
Not many people can pass them. He's really good at that cut shot. Like, sub 10 foot.
Yeah.
He's gotten me a bunch of times. And whenever he goes up to hit on the outside, I just sit there. I just sit there because I know it's coming. Or in some way, shape, or form, cross. But I'm like, I can't even do that. Like, I don't know how he does that. But it is impressive. But moving on to what our eighth question. Just what is some advice for setters coming up? Not just in Rockford, but I mean, I don't really know who outside of Rockford is going to be listening to this. But just some advice to setters coming up that you think they should know or should have, especially going from high school to, you know, the college, just experience and recruiting and, you know, all that. Just what do you think they should have?
Yes, well, so they definitely need to know that every hitter is different. They all lay completely different sets, so you can't really set the exact same way every single time. But then also, they need to get in the gym. Like, not like lifting. I mean, like, yes, you can lift.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they just need to get their hands on balls. They need to get comfortable with the ball. 'Cause that'll make it easier to, like, judge how much force you can put into the ball to get it where you want to go, how much arc you can have, especially with the hitters wanting it in different ways. And always try to be nice to your hitters. You need to be nice to your hitters. Be nice to your passers, honestly. Be nice to everybody.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be super rude or, like, mean to any of your hitters. Like, if they make a mistake, they're not going to do it on purpose. Sorry, Jordy, for yelling at you that one time. But you didn't just make a mistake. You made multiple mistakes.
I did. I won't.
But I don't think I meant it in a rude way.
You didn't.
Just be prepared for not having perfect passes every single time. I'll get really good at setting on the move. I think I'm, like, way better at setting on the move than I am, like, standing still and, like, getting the ball dead on.
Yeah. I think it kind of, like, puts you in a mode. And you're like, all right, I got to get this over there if you're moving.
Yeah, definitely.
Rather than, like, standing, you're like, okay.
And definitely just when you're setting, the fast sets, they will work, like, all the time if you give your hitter a good ball, because the block cannot be closed, and sometimes pin hitters can even get out that fast. And then, just, like, on the college aspect, definitely you need to reach out to coaches. My brother told me, cast a line, catch a fish. I emailed so many colleges. I got a lot of emails back. I talked to coaches. Like, just you being able to reach out to them, that shows the coaches that you do have an interest in playing volleyball. It shows that you're taking initiative and trying to excel your future, and they'll like that a lot. And it's better to start early and get on the coach's radar than to start too late.
Yeah.
'Cause I know a lot of boys volleyball players, they commit, like, second semester of their senior year, which there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're one of those people like me who likes to have their entire future planned out, then you definitely need to start early.
Yeah.
And I got lucky because of the pandemic that I had so much time to send out my emails and talk to coaches. But, like, next year when everything is back to normal, hopefully, you're not going to have a lot of time. So you might need to just do whatever you can while you have the time. Like, take your time in the summer. It's not hard. It's actually super fun getting a lot of attention from coaches.
It is.
Like, I just love all the attention. So I guess that's my advice, unless you think that I should add any more advice.
No. Just to add to that, you will be a senior before you know it. And your senior year will fly by before you know it. And so thinking that you have enough time, I was one of those that thought I had time to just, you know, kind of cruise through it and I'll get to it eventually. No, it doesn't work like that. Coaches will find other players. They'll look for other players. You know, it's a head race pretty much. And so you don't have all the time in the world. Definitely start young. Don't let it be something that, like, ruins your volleyball, like, experience. Like, that shouldn't, like, it shouldn't be that serious, but it definitely should be serious enough to the point where you're, you know, consciously thinking about it and consciously going through the process and trying, you know, your best to get the best for yourself and for your future. And I think also adding to what he said just about being nice to your hitters and your players, just the relationship with your setter is probably the most important one you're going to have on a volleyball court ever, besides, you know, your coach or, you know, something like that, other players. But the relationship with your setter, if you're a hitter that is going to be gone to, like coming, the ball is going to be coming to you a lot, you're going to want to be nice to your setter. And you're going to want to be able to talk to your setter, and not even just on the court, off the court, just be able to be chill with your setter and understand them and they understand you, because that's how the sets really get better. You know, I think last year we were good, but I think this year, I think the reason why we're so much better is just because we know each other a lot better. Yeah. Like, our relationship is better, our chemistry is better. And so we know each other. We know each other's tendencies, and we know what to look for and what not to look for. And I think that's, like, just important as a setter or as any player, just to have a relationship with your setter that can be trusted on and off the court. All right, so that's going to be the end of that question. On to the next and last. I want to get your opinion on where you think the future of men's volleyball specifically will go in as far as our class and the classes behind us. And just, like, as far as, like, college, high school, anything.
Yeah, so I definitely think that, especially our class, at the club level, I think most of us are trying to go play volleyball in college.
Yeah.
And I actually think all of us are going to excel super well in that, because mm-hmm. we all have the right mindset. We all want to get in the gym and play volleyball all the time. We all want to get better. We all want to make a difference on the court. And it's definitely the mindset that helps a lot in how far you will go in volleyball. So I can definitely see all of us going to a college. It doesn't even matter if it's, like, a big-time college or even a small-time college, as long as you get
there.
You get to play. But I could definitely see all of us going to good competitive volleyball colleges.
Yeah.
And then, honestly, I hope that, like, our class will pave the way for younger kids to come and play volleyball. Volleyball's not really seen as a tough, physical, like, male sport like basketball or football. But also, people don't really take the time to come and watch men's volleyball at all. It's completely different than girls' volleyball. It's so much faster. Everybody jumps higher.
Yeah.
They hit harder. So I guess guys don't really take the time to actually recognize how physical the male game is, and that's why they kind of put it off as, like, a second tier sport, not even a second tier sport, like a third tier sport.
Yeah.
After, like, the main sport. So mm-hmm. And I definitely think there's so many athletic guys that could play volleyball and actually be pretty well at it. If you're athletic, just like Jordan was, he was super athletic. He didn't have much experience with volleyball. Same here with me. And, like, now I think we're leaders on the court, and I think we're like one of the top people in the club.
Yeah.
But, like, our entire class in our club is so good. Everybody can compete with anybody.
Yeah.
But just, like, from everybody playing volleyball and then from Jordan and I coming in new last year, I think we've been able to catch up with everybody. And there's just so many opportunities to play volleyball in college that also kids don't recognize because they just want to play those main sports. Bigger. And that's what I had to say.
Yeah. I want to give credit to the class of 2020 as far as volleyball, because they were huge. They were good.
They were really good.
Yeah, especially our club team, like our 18s team. That man, it was definitely a team to look up to, and it was a team that I modeled a lot of my game off of. And just watching those guys, even in practice, man, it was fun. It was fun to watch. And it was probably the reason why we got so much better. Oh, thank you. Because we had to compete against them. You know, we had to get our butts whooped by them almost every day in practice. But
yeah.
But we got better. And sometimes we did beat them. I don't know, like once.
There was one time.
One time. One time out of I don't know, probably 10. One out of 10 times that we did beat them, but half the time we got our butts whooped. And they were just good. Like, they were just undisputably good. And you couldn't, you know, they couldn't, you couldn't say either. And they all, most of them have gone to college.
Yep.
And gone to play. So, yeah. I think the future is bright as far as volleyball in Rockford and just, you know, worldwide, just as far as men's, because it's a fun sport. Like, it's fun. It's fun to watch. It's fun to be a part. And, yeah. All right. So, that is going to bring it to the close. I just want to thank you for coming on and being the first guest. How's it feel? How's it feel to be the first guest?
I feel so honored for you. Like, this is the new thing that you're taking up.
Yeah.
And for you to think of me as, like, special guest, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I knew from the moment I made it, I was like, I want Jake to be, if not the first, one of the first three on here. And, you know, that's what we're doing. That's what we got going on here. So I'm just excited to put this out. I'm excited to see what people think. And I hope it does good. Even if it doesn't do good, I'm just happy we got to do it. And yeah, so thank you guys. Thank you for just being, for making it to the end, one. And two, just hopefully enjoying it. And yeah, just tuning in. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day, great rest of your week. And yeah, peace.